if you never make an offer, you're never going to get a deal.
That's right.
So I counsel women all the time, how many offers are you making? We never know what they're going to take if we don't ask. They are doing one thing, we're doing another, and then when it meets, and then that's when it's beautiful. That's when the homeowner gets what they want, the wholesaler gets what they want, I get what I want, and it does work.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
And we're here with our other bestie, Gigi Kinsey. We are so glad to have you on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It feels like old times to be here with both of you.
I know. Well, Gigi, we are so proud of you. Yes. You are doing amazing things in your business, in your network. I am just overwhelmed with the amount of women who are in house flipping women. It's just like an amazing community that you have built. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty exciting to have that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things I appreciate about Gigi, she came to the table already with, you know, a level of experience. I mean, she was such an exciting person to meet. You know, I guess it's been about 5 years now. So I'm super excited to hear what you have going on now.
Awesome. Good. Yeah, I'm excited to share.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I wanted to have Gigi on the show is because she hosted a workshop recently called Beyond the 70 Cent Deal. And I was like, what is that? I love this idea. And I know you had an incredible response to that workshop because people are just trying to figure out how to get into flipping houses and make this thing happen. So let's have a conversation about that today.
Right. Let's do it.
Awesome. So what is Beyond the 70 Cent Deal? Like, we all have heard you have to have a 70 cent deal, period. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I've coached many people across my lifetime that you've got to wait for a 70 cent deal. Tell us about why that's not always the case.
Okay. So first of all, I want to clarify and make sure everyone knows I love the 70 cent deal because it is a really quick way to evaluate a property and to quickly make an offer if you have to do it that quickly and be pretty much in the realm of where you need to be to make that offer. However, in order to stay in real estate investing and have, you know, longevity and run our businesses, we have to do a little deeper analysis than just a 70 cent deal. And so there are times that we want to stick straight to a 70 cent deal. There are times that we are going to want to go even deeper discount than a 70 cent. And there are other times we can go, oh, I think I can fudge a little the other direction.
Yeah.
And it comes from deeper analysis and so many things to take into consideration when we're looking at a property. And that's what I want people to understand. There is more. I hear so many people who are new to real estate investing. Maybe they've been learning for a year or so, and they still haven't got a deal. Mm. And they are very black and white, and they do the initial 70 cent formula. And if it doesn't jive with that, then they toss it out. Yeah. And there can be reasons to deeper dive the analysis to see what are some other opportunities for this property. Or how can we make it work into the 70 cent deal if we have the knowledge and the know-how to do that?
Yeah. Right. And yeah. You are a wealth of knowledge and know-how. You've been renovating properties in your business, Kinsey Interiors, for how many years now?
A little over 25 years.
Mm-hmm. So you don't just bring the expertise of being a real estate investor, but also that background of experience and knowing what it actually costs to do the work. Right. And I think that's one thing that also holds new investors back is they're like, well, they're guessing. Yeah. You know, if I've never done a project, I'm kind of guessing, what does it take to remodel a bathroom or a kitchen? And I don't know what materials cost, and I don't know, you know, all these things. So yeah. that's something that I appreciate that you bring and that you're able to share with the women in your community and house flipping women is that wealth of background of knowledge. So talk to us about this idea of the deeper dive analysis. What are some factors that would, that we should be digging into to analyze if something could be one of those that we could fudge a little bit?
Okay. Yeah. So one of the very easiest things to look at is days on market. And I don't think enough people, when they're pulling comps, are looking at the days on market. So if you've got three comps, we always say try to get three good comps, and they're showing an average of 120 days on market.
Yeah.
That's a different deal than, another one that we get three good comps and they're showing an average of 30 days on market. So I look at the days on market. The longer the average in that neighborhood, the tighter I'm going to be on my numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster the days on market, the fewer days on market, I'll fudge the other direction and be like, I can pay a little more for this because I'm not going to have 6 months of carrying costs while I'm waiting or 3 months of carrying costs or 2 months. I really pay attention to days on market. Another thing I look for, does this property give me any opportunity to increase the ARV?
Yeah.
Meaning, can I, using the same roof line, create more living space?
Mm-hmm.
So if I can create some more living space inside the existing property, usually it means pulling it out of a garage, not necessarily converting a garage, but maybe getting up, maybe adding to a space in the house, enlarging it somehow. If a property is selling for $250 a square foot and I can add 50 square feet out of a garage into the living space, I just, for very little money, increase my ARV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So little things like that. Do I have any tricks up my sleeve to get the renovations, to get the end result I want, but save on the renovations? And so that's really where my expertise comes in, where I teach women to get the biggest bang for their buck, to make sure that their renovations are being put into the areas that are going to bring the biggest return on their money and the biggest wow factors for the potential buyers walking the property. Because your buyer is going to spend all day with the real estate agent. And they're saying, I have 500,000 or I have 200,000 or whatever they have. The agent's saying, here's everything available in your price point. They go look at five or six houses. When they open the door to your home, you want that client's mouth to fall open and go, oh my gosh, this is the one. How is this one priced at $350,000 compared to those other 350,000 junkers I just looked at? You know, that's the house they're going to remember at the end of the day. So the money we spend has to be put into those things that create those wow factors. Not, of course, any, I always say we have to make it safe. It has to meet code. We have to put our money where we have to for that. And then after that, whatever's left for decorating and for design, we've got to stretch those dollars and get the biggest bang.
So good.
Yeah.
One of the things that one of my very first flips, and I don't know if you guys remember me talking about this one, I called it the Hippo House because I bought it off the MLS. And the reason it was priced so cheap was because it smelled like the hippo tank at the zoo. I was like, and we found out that it had been a puppy mill. It smelled like urine really heavy in the air. And so we had to do a total gut on that house. And the laundry room was in the dank basement and the master suite was upstairs. And so one of the things that we did, we didn't change the footprint of the house at all, but we took that formal dining room and closed it off and made it a master suite with a laundry room on the main floor. And it was like, ooh, this is in a nice bathroom. And so it added a bedroom, it added a bathroom, it added a main floor laundry, not changing the footprint of the house. And it increased the value of the house tremendously when we did that. Yeah.
Perfect example. That's a perfect example. So adding anything like what you just said, not even necessarily adding square footage, but what you did when we add a bathroom or we add a bedroom inside the square footage that exists, you immediately, your appraisal is going to come back $10,000, $20,000 higher into the comparisons that they're looking at.
Yeah. I think part of what I'm hearing you say is that people need to understand how to do that value add. You know, as far as well as bringing some of these older properties up to today's standards, the floor, like now the big thing is the open floor plan. Some of the older houses doesn't have that. And it could be something as simple as just open up a wall a little bit or whatever that may be. But there's value in, you know, in making those types of changes without, like you said, adding square footage to the property. And I think people have to think about that in the forefront.
Differentiating your space from our house from the other houses in the same, you know, that are in the same price points, because I know that one day I had a another real estate investor come to tour one of my houses that I was about to put on the market. So it was complete. And he could not believe what I had done to that house. And this is not a property we overspent on. We made $75,000 profit on this particular property. And I looked at him. So we talked, he and I talked, and I looked at some of his properties. He would just go in, whatever existed, got, you know, fresh carpet, you know, updated some things, but he didn't open anything. He didn't put any new trend in, like swap a barn door, you know, an ugly bathroom door for a barn door inside the master, or do something cool with the hardware. And just none of the little things that make a big difference. And he started spinning his wheels because he could make more money without really spending much more, just a little bit more, maybe to open a wall. So opening up, it's a good one.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. So, you know, what is the advice that you have for an investor who is in the situation that you described earlier, where they're just wheel spinning? Like they've been trying to figure out how to get started. They've been looking at properties. They eliminate everything before they even get started because they're like, oh, nobody will take a offer like this. So what advice do you have for someone in that situation?
Well, number one, if you never make an offer, you're never going to get a deal.
That's right.
So I counsel women all the time. How many offers are you making? And they're not going to, you don't know. We never know what they're going to take if we don't ask. I'm well known for, I kind of don't go with a lot of the real estate investors that do all their own marketing and go straight to the homeowners. I do use wholesalers. And so the wholesalers often, everyone says, I hate wholesalers because they ask too much. Our responsibility is to offer the right amount. Yeah. Their responsibility is to get as much money as they can possibly get for the property. And so we're not headbutting. They are doing one thing, we're doing another. And then when it meets, and then that's when it's beautiful. That's when the homeowner gets what they want. The wholesaler gets what they want. I get what I want at the right price. And it does work, but you have to put in a lot of offers in order to get to the yes. And so my first deal, I had put in five offers with wholesalers. On the fifth one, I got it, and it was a $92,000 net profit on that one deal. So, you know, don't be scared. I just put in two offers this week, both of them way under what was being asked. And guess what? Eventually, in 2 or 3 weeks, when that homeowner is seeing nobody's making the offer they're thinking, they'll start reconsidering. I guess this is what the market will bear.
That's good advice. Go ahead, Brenda.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that they can negotiate with the wholesaler. And I think the key is because how I find my deals is similar to what you do. I don't spend any money on marketing or a buying list. I also go straight to homeowners in the MLS. I have an established relationship with wholesalers, and we negotiate. And, you know, sometimes they go from trying to make 30 or 40,000, and they take that 10, give you the property and go on about the business. So definitely investing in that relationship. Do not be fearful of wholesalers. I think that's a great point because they can help you to get where you're trying to go just by letting them do the legwork. Let them spend money on marketing and bring you the deal. That's great.
Yeah, and the relationship is very important. So I have developed relationships with wholesalers. I'm always looking for new wholesalers at the same time. And then the ones that I really enjoy working with, I do develop those relationships. They get to know me and they start knowing what I want. They also know where I'm going to come in. And so often they'll say, the homeowner's not going to take that right now. 2 weeks later, I get a call. Uh-huh. And they say, are you still interested? Because once they see that nobody's buying, you know, at that price. So a lot of good reasons to develop those relationships with wholesalers, even if you also like marketing and selling direct, buying directly from homeowners, if you want to go that route, you still want both. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to another beyond the 70 cent deal little tip is that what I personally witnessed when I got into real estate investing with so many students being led to believe that they weren't a real investor unless they were marketing. Mm-hmm. You're not an investor unless you're doing the marketing. And from the get-go, I said, I want to be in the real estate investing business. I don't want to be in the marketing business. And so I immediately I marketed myself to wholesalers. And I got as many wholesalers talking to me as possible and teaching me so that very quickly in 1 month, I had my first deal purchased. I already mentioned that. But the other part of that is I got started. My profit started coming in.
Yeah.
By the second month, I had my second buy, which I made $75,000 on. And by the fourth month, I had my next one and my next one. Other women that were going, I've got to spend $500 a month marketing. Mm-hmm. That's all I can come up with. I'm going to spend $500 a month. And then out of those, they've got to get to their hot leads. Then they got to get to talking. They got to negotiate. They got to actually get a signed contract. And so 6 months later, 9 months later, 12 months later, I hear from those ladies who are like, I haven't got a deal yet. I almost had one and I haven't got one yet.
Yeah.
Also that they can buy at about maybe $10,000 less than I buy. So I can also afford to go a little higher than the 70 cent deal at times because I don't have thousands of dollars over the last 6 to 9 to 12 months invested in marketing just to get that one deal to save the $10,000 assignment fee.
Yeah.
So that does give you a little leeway. So that's another little tip and beyond the 70 cent deal. And then another one beyond the 70 cent deal is, and this is definitely not for everyone. When we hire a general contractor to run our jobs, to run our flips, we are typically paying an additional 20 to 30%, right? They've got to make a living. They make 20 to 30%. Some of them will only do 15%. They're probably not going to be very good project managers or do a very good job. So most of you look at, let's just say 20%. Immediately, that's 20% out of your profits and out of what you can offer. So mm-hmm. If you are in a state that allows you to general contract your own property, mm-hmm. you will automatically have a little 20% leeway that other mm-hmm. investors might not have. Mm. Which will also let you, when you get out your calculator and you don't just do the 70 cent formula, but you're filling in your closing costs and your carrying costs and finding all those things. And you say, I could still make $70,000 on this. It's not a 70 cent deal. It's a 75 cent deal, but I'm still making $50,000 mm-hmm. because I'm not hiring a GC and I'm running that job myself. Or you've hired a project manager to help you do that. That gives you the opportunity to still make a deal and still keep profits rolling into your business. As opposed to going, but it doesn't work. It's not a 70 cent deal, so I can't do that. Then, you know, you're leaving so many opportunities on the table. If you live in a state that does not allow you to GC your own, even if, you know, your own LLC's properties, if they're one of those states, then that's not probably going to be an option unless you decide to go get your GC license. Mm. But there are so many states that do allow you to work on your own property. And by work on, I do not mean you use the tools. Y'all don't see me out there demoing my house. Although sometimes I think it would be a lot of fun, right? But we project manage, we hire all the subs. And so we are just naturally going to come into the renovations lower than other people.
Good point.
I love it. And Gigi, is that something that you'd teach students to do? Because for some of us that didn't have any construction experience before we started, that sounds overwhelming.
Yeah. So inside the mentorship, the REI Elite Mentorship, I teach the step by step by step to project managing, to getting your scope of work written, to the actual detailed budget, to watch that budget as you go. So if you know if you're going over or under on any one thing, how you can catch it early and make sure your budget stays on track. Mm-hmm. And then how to work with either a general contractor or all of your subcontractors. Because I'm here to tell you, just because you hire a general contractor, you are still the boss. Everything, the buck stops with you. And if that GC is slipping in his project management, his timelines, or his quality, it's up to you to be able to say, I see this. I see this happening. It doesn't work to go back and go, yeah, I lost money or this deal fell through. It's all because I had a horrible general contractor. He really worked me over. You know what? Ignorance is not an excuse, right?
Right?
We have to know how to run our businesses. So even if you have a general contractor, it's up to you to manage the general contractor to say, is he staying on budget? Is he staying on time? Is his quality right? Are we meeting code? And if we just say, I learned to go get a GC and then go find the next deal and go on vacation thinking this is somewhat passive, you're really in for a rude awakening because we do have to manage our projects. And I know both of you know that firsthand experience. I know Brenda does. And you have to manage your GCs.
Yeah. 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 That's a good point. I think it's important that people realize that they still have to have their hand in the pot, as I like to say. You can't just turn it over and let it cook itself. You got to be there to oversee, you know, these projects and be ready to pivot. I mean, I think that's the key. You know, if you're going into a situation or a transaction and let's say the budget does go a little haywire, then you have to now come to the table with, okay, what's going to be plan B so that I can stop the bleeding and I can go in another direction and recover, you know, if I can have some kind of recovery plan in place and hopefully, you know, help them to build some confidence that if something does happen, it's not the end of the road, but it requires them to kind of tap into that. Okay, I got plan B, C, and D in my backpack. You know what I mean?
Straight from the mouth of the pivot queen. You know, every theater is about pivoting. That's right. And so I train people to have at least try to have three exit strategies from the very beginning. You're going to choose one to be the main one, but present to your lender also what your two other exit strategies are. And when I say present that, I don't just mean if the flip doesn't work out, well, I'll just rent it. Actually say, this is what the rental market looks like in this neighborhood. This is what long-term rental would be on this property. So if I had to go to plan B and rent this, this is already researched. And I know it's not just a pipe dream that I will turn it over. Have your pivots or your exit strategies figured out at the very beginning. Talk about sleeping better at night. Yes. If you've already researched that, it will give you a lot of peace. It'll also give your lenders confidence in you. Mm-hmm. And because of the possibly having to pivot, one of the things I do have people, I want them to look at besides days on market is look and see if things are appreciating in that particular area. Are we in an area that is appreciating? Are we on is it staying steady this year or through the last 3 years, or have we been on a decline? Mm-hmm. Because when we are working in an area and let's say things are not appreciating right now, there are certain pockets in the United States right now that are not appreciating. They're staying stagnant probably from last year to this year. Mm-hmm. So we're not banking on this being worth more money 6 months from when we start the flip or when we start the renovations on a buy and hold. So when we're in a market that's not appreciating, I'll say, okay, right this minute, what is the ARV? And then I'm going to deduct for my underwriting, maybe 5-10% off that ARV for the, just in case. so that my underwriting, meaning my how I analyze this deal and what's it going to take to make a profit on it, is based on if the ARV actually dropped in the next 6 to 9 months when it actually hits the market or hits the DSCR refi when they're appraising it. So knowing your market, are we in an appreciating market? Are we stagnant or are we dropping? Very, very important to know. So you know how to, again, beyond the 70 cent deal, do I offer less than 70 cents because we are in a declining market? So lots of deeper dive analytics that are super simple to do when you have a calculator that just lays it all out for you. And when you know check marks, did I check days on market? Did I check the appreciation? How do we check that appreciation? We go to a heat map, right? Mm-hmm. One software is PropStream that has heat maps that will tell you over this last year, the last 5 years, 3 years, what is appreciation like in certain areas?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I think what you've described is such an important reason to have a mentor when you're getting into something new that's unfamiliar, because most of us didn't know all of those things when we got started, you know, and so we learn better and so we do better. And then we get to also help other ladies to do better. Like, I feel like you were just sharing a list of mistakes Andrea's made in real estate.
And Brenda.
You know, I learned a lot of this stuff just from the doing. Well, this isn't going well on the refi or whatever it may be. So a lot of the things came from that.
Yeah.
And that's how I started leaning into the pivot. You know, a lot of the property, and as you guys know, I invest in underserved communities, which has another layer of risk that the other markets may not have. So a lot of the properties that I had intentionally bought to flip, you know, I had to pivot on, because in an underserved community, it takes you longer to sell. And I am an impatient person. If I don't see movement after 30 to 45 days, I'm going to something that's going, I'm going to put that house to work. I know my motto, everything, if I got to work, everything I own got to work. So I'll put it, you know, to work and pivot into that rental property or short-term rental or whatever, and then revisit the market, you know, 12 months later to see what's going on. So I kind of have that baked into my transaction, is that whole, you know, the need to pivot, which I also don't, you know, I also try to leave as much equity on the table as possible. I tend to run, if I'm doing a flip, I will, you know, get it on the market, prepare to get it on the market. But in the background, I may also contact a DSCR loan company and get them right to the point, get them to, you know, the approval and what their numbers are, get them right to the point before I say yes. So that if I have to pivot, I already have a DSCR, you know, company lined up and know what those numbers kind of look like. And it is trial and error. I had to learn, just like the rest of you guys. And does it come at a cost? Yes, it does. But it's an experience that was worth the cost for me to benefit from it down the road.
Right.
You know, everything that you're saying is I experience, and I absolutely agree. And if these ladies can have this information at this point of going into the business, which we didn't have when we first jumped out here, I mean, it's just going to make it so much better, and they'll probably save money.
Not just save money, but actually have the opportunity to actually increase the profits, not just by saving on one end, but by getting more, you know, on the other end. And and that's the thing. We all three started at exactly the same time, basically. Yeah. And there was a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
And it was a different market. Mm-hmm. That we were working in. And one of the beautiful things about longevity in any business is going through different markets. So we learn how to work in a seller's market. We learn how to work in a buyer's market. We learn how to deal with, you know, the economy's shifts, which we've been experiencing crazy shifts since COVID. It's been all over the place. Yeah. And learning how to do the analysis of where we're at right now. How do we make money in this business in any market at any time comes with being able to look at multiple facets of that that deal, the property location, the neighborhood it's in, or maybe I need to get out of my backyard and I need to go across the country to some other, you know, to a different state. Maybe those are the things. But had we had mentors at the beginning that we could call and say, I've got a new deal, run through this with me.
Yeah.
And then they could ask you the question, you know, well, did you check days on market? How long is this? How long are you planning to keep this? Have you checked to see what the rental rates are in that neighborhood? Have you checked to see if there's any laws against short-term rentals or in that HOA that they're going to tell you all of a sudden you can't do? The little things that mentors with experience can remind you to do will save you so much heartache. And just red flags, remind them of the red flags to look for, because people will emotionally get attached to a deal. Have y'all experienced that? Where you get emotionally, or you know someone who gets emotionally attached to a certain deal. And so they start seeing it through rose-colored glasses, and they just want to negate anything that you're like, are you sure that house doesn't need? No, I think it's fine. I think a fresh coat of paint, new carpet, we're good.
Yeah,
probably you're not seeing everything that needs to be seen, or what the challenges on this house are. Doesn't mean you don't want the deal. It just means you need to face the challenges so you pay the right amount of money for it.
Yeah,
everything is fixable as long as you pay the right amount of money for it. So that's why mentorships with women who have been doing this and been there, lost money maybe on something, or at least lost some of their profits because they made a mistake. We lose money. We never make that mistake again. Hopefully, if we're smart, we never make that mistake again. That's a deep-bedded lesson learned. And we share that with other women so they hopefully don't make it at all.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about networking and being in a mastermind, getting together, you know, getting a mentor or having a coach, because like you said, we went through this together and we, you know, of course we had a mentorship and we, you know, we kind of coached each other because we're all in different markets.
Right.
So our experiences and our bumps in the road may have been slightly different because of, you know, what's going on in your market, Gigi, what's going on in your market, Andrea, and what I was dealing with. But we were able to, because we were in the same network or same masterclass and mastermind together, you know, I was able to kind of learn from what Gigi experienced so that if I even see it coming around the corner, I'm thinking about what Gigi said and I'm better prepared for the bump that you experience in case I run into that same bump. And I always refer to them as bumps in the road, you know? So that is one of the biggest benefits from being in the room with like-minded people and then having a mentor to guide you through those bumps in the road. And also understanding as an investor, it's not whether or not you're going to lose money. It's controlling how much money you lose. Okay. Real estate investing, real estate is a risky business anyway, because there's so many things that's out of your control, but you just got to have something in place to kind of help guide you through it. So if you take that off the table, I'm concerned about losing money and have them think about it more or less from the realistic standpoint, you know, then I think that kind of takes that little monster out of the equation. And it's just a matter, okay, oh, well, you know, I paid twice as much for this and I did, you know, what I should have paid, but I learned something from it and you move on. Don't let it be a brick wall in front of you. But that's the business that we're in, which is really being a real estate investor. So being able to share that with them and being able to share your own experience with them helps them to kind of understand like, okay, a mentor would be very beneficial for me because they would talk me off the ledge. That we talked each other off the ledge.
You know? Yeah. We all learn from each other so much. Like I can't even imagine how much more you know about going into an underserved community and creating your own comps, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was going to do that in an area, Brenda, you'd be the first one I'd run to because you've done it over and over and over again, right? I've never had to create my own comps. Where there, you know, I don't work in areas where there's no comps. That is a totally different thing. And I feel like if I did want to do that, I wouldn't be worried about it because I know who to go to, right? Yeah. Andrea had a whole different market is it Kansas City, right?
Topeka.
That's a whole different market there of a different price point and different, you know, and yet you knocked it out. I mean, like just house. You went in and did that. So we all kind of have our little areas of expertise, and being in that mastermind together has been it's just been invaluable.
Yeah,
for me for the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I felt. I would have to say, I would not be where I am right now as far as growing my multiple businesses if it were not for the mastermind. Sure, I went through a coaching program and it had, there were a lot of things missing. And I didn't realize what was missing until we was in a mastermind together. And we kind of learned, because we all had the same experience. So we kind of all learned, along the way, like, ooh, I wish I would have had more information about this further back closer to the starting line that now, that I kind of ran into. Without any real preparation, for that. So, being in a space with people, like-minded people who are actually doing the thing, it's something that I now know would have been more beneficial if I would have done that way back in the beginning. Because sure, I was in the room with people educating me, but they weren't necessarily doing the thing at the same time I was doing the thing, so that I could kind of learn from, oh, don't do that or whatever. If that makes sense, it's definitely the people that are listening to us now are so fortunate to have an Andrea or a Gigi to turn to kind of help them get to a place that we kind of had to figure out as we went, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who don't know how Gigi and Brenda and I met, we were in a mentorship together and it ended and we were like, now what? And I looked around and I said, who is taking bold action and encouraging others to take bold action? And I called up a few ladies and it was Brenda and it was Gigi and it was a handful of others. And I was like, I need you to keep meeting with me because I don't want to do this thing by myself.
Yeah.
I want a group of women that is encouraging each other that we can call if we get stuck. And we started getting together every single week. And mm-hmm. then we started taking trips together and we'd go on retreats. And I would take you, I took everybody through some goal setting and like mindset work. And the amazing women that came together in that group did incredible things. And I think we had 8 millionaires pop up in that group within a couple of years, just from what they were doing in real estate, which is what we were all focused on at that time. And then like just amazing things happening. And then to see so many of you now becoming the mentors and becoming ones who help other people. And I think that's a responsibility that we have when we figure stuff out and we become successful. It's a responsibility to reach back and say, hey, girls, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do it too.
That's right. And to this day, I mean, I still like if I run into something, I'm like, let me call Gigi. Let me call Andrea. And I'm still bouncing things off of my sisters here mm-hmm. because I probably recall that Gigi experienced something like this. So she has some knowledge in this area. And so that never ends. So you got to have a place to go when you're looking for wise counsel. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
In real estate. Mm-hmm. So these girls, and as a result of being in this mastermind with these ladies, they have become a large, I've created a lot of wise counsels. Again, that I could go to depending on what I'm dealing with. And even if it's just, hey, girl, I need encouragement, or whatever. So it's not just, how do I grow my business? But sometimes it's, okay, how do I keep peace of mind while I, make it through the day? So that is necessary. So there's a lot of great information that's for me that's come from both of you young ladies. And I just hope that, the ladies that are listening can create that atmosphere for themselves, create those relationships for themselves, or turn to, Andrea, a Gigi, or whoever else is out there that's doing the thing, so you can create that safe space that we're fortunate enough to have, ourselves.
Yeah, and Gigi, I'm so excited about what you've just launched. Would you share with everybody a little bit about how, if they're looking for their network, their people, mm-hmm. their group of women to link arms with and do this thing, tell us about what you've recently offered.
Okay. So I'm super excited about this. So it's been a long time coming. So first of all, I have a Facebook group that is free and it's called House Flipping Women. It is a private group. So what you share in there is private. However, there are almost 12,000 women in there, and they are all interested in real estate investing. Some are very, very experienced. Some are brand new, just trying to figure this thing out. But we have a lot of women in this network. We have private money lenders. We have wholesalers. We have flippers. We have short-term rental people. So there's lots of wealth of education and knowledge and experience. You get on there and ask anything and you're going to get answered. And that, I will always maintain that free network of women. I love that. But to really deep dive and to make a business out of real estate investing, especially with flipping and renovating buy and holds, when it comes to that, there is so much more to it than just jumping on a network and asking a quick question.
Yeah.
And so I created Renovate Her is my main business for education, Renovate Her Business Network. And inside of that, I've created the REI Elite Mentorship. So Real Estate Investing Elite, meaning that this is for women who want to understand, really deeply understand what they're investing in, how to invest in it, how to manage it, mm-hmm. and be able to scale that business. So it works. If you want to flip one house a year and just make that extra $50,000, that's what works for you and your family. This program will work for that. But if you want to say, I want to be able to flip at least six houses a year and maybe renovate a couple of buy and holds every year as well, and I got to figure out how do I do that many projects and not collapse under the weight of that, then this is the program also for you, because we teach you how to scale this and run it like a business. I mean, my Kinsey Interiors and Remodel, we do minimum usually 10 projects going at one time. We've gone up to 16 projects at a time, sometimes down to six or seven. So years ago, I had to learn, how do we manage multiple projects happening at once? So I just bled that right over to flipping. And so I can teach a person to do that, because now we're talking about real business.
Yeah.
Real money, real impact, something, a business we can hand down, we could sell. The income that we make right now in flipping is our current income, but we can also start building that wealth for the future by renovating homes that we put into our rental portfolio. And there's a way to do all of this in a way that you can still love life, right? That you're not just buried and burdened with all of the stress. And some people do one flip and they feel like it was so stressful that they just can't even imagine doing another one. And it's not the flip. It's doing it without the steps, without anyone over you to call and just say, this just came up, what do I say? Because if you've never done it before, you don't know what to say. You don't even know if the contractor's lying to you. If he says it's a problem, is it a problem? Or is he just trying to get more money out of me?
Right.
So the biggest thing I think that sets REI Elite Mentorship apart and house flipping women in general is my love of one-on-one mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when my students DM me a quick question or email me or ask me a question in the Facebook group. If they DM me and say, I actually have to have this answered today, because my GC said, you know, there's a problem if we don't answer today. And I'll pick up the phone at my first next available and have a 10-minute conversation and answer the question, and we can move on. And they can move on. So I think the hand holding that I give is the big difference in my program. And the other coaches, you know, I mean, my gosh, it's not just the Gigi show. We got Dawn Simmons, who y'all know so well. Wholesaling and innovations. She's amazing. And she loves the women just as much as I do, has such a heart for that. We have a new finance coach who's starting here in a couple of weeks, Carrie Matuga, who's going to help women understand multiple ways to fund their projects and how to pivot when needed. So the program is really focused again on flipping, renovating, buy and holds, and wholesaling. Those are our three deep dives. We don't get out into other things, multifamily or commercial or a lot of other things that are cool and really neat real estate investing, but I want people to become expert in something before they add on. So that's my thing. You're going to make the most money if you're an expert. So trying to do five different things in your first year or two of being in real estate investing, you're never going to make the profits the person who focuses in will make. It's just a fact. So that's what we do. That's what our goals are. And our next masterclass is coming up June 16th. And we're going to really dive to the fundamentals of real estate investing. In this particular masterclass, we're not going beyond the 70-cent deal. We're actually going to teach the fundamentals in this particular one.
Wow. That's exciting.
I love it. And I love so much that you are being so generous and giving people one-on-one access to you when they're in your mentorship. That's exceptional. And that's invaluable, because that's, I know when I was doing it, I would call you, I would call Brent. I wanted to call someone, like I wanted to talk to someone who was doing the thing. And that was like really scary to not know who to, you know, if you don't know who to call when you're in that situation, it can cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. But if you just have an expert that you can call that can just talk you through it, it can save you so much money and heartache and time on a project. So that's incredible, Gigi.
Let's just say, you know, you do the exact same thing, because my husband and I called Andrea last weekend to clarify a question we had about something she has a lot of knowledge about that we didn't know about. And she talked to my husband and I and gave us the information that we needed too. So, you know, that's your MO as well. And I think that's why we all enjoy working together so much, because we do really thrive and love helping other women do the same thing. Yeah. We all know different things.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, Gigi, we're so proud of you. We're excited for you and cheering for you to be building your community at an even next level. Every week we challenge our listeners to encourage them to do something to take bold action. And so what is one thing that you would challenge our listeners to do this week to take bold action?
Well, I think we'll go back to the beginning of what we talked about. Make an offer. Make an offer. I don't care if you have to dig through Zillow, if you have to go drive neighborhoods and look for a house that, you know, just looks like, you know, and you go and check it and it's been on the market for 300 days. Or if you need to contact all your wholesalers or get on your networks and say, I'm looking, send me something, analyze the deal and make, and if it falls into your buy box, of course, make an offer. Regardless of what they say, the minimum asking price is, make an offer. If you will just make the offer, you'll get over the fear of, some people are scared of doing it. And some people think it's going to insult them, right? I don't want to insult them. It's not an insult. It's an offer. Yeah. They take it or leave it. So that would be my challenge. Make at least one offer.
Awesome. Great challenge.
Great challenge. And Gigi, if people want to connect with you, they want to hear more about how you help women succeed in flipping houses and getting into real estate investing, how can they connect with you?
They can certainly come join me at House Flipping Women on Facebook. I'm also got House Flipping Women on Instagram, but they can also email me at gigi@gigikinsey.com.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you. And Brenda, how can people get in touch with you if they want to connect with you outside of the show?
They can connect with me on my website, brendastroud.com. They can also connect with me on Facebook and Instagram. My name, Brenda Stroud. You can also find me on the Roar Society Facebook page. And yeah, that's a couple of ways you can reach me.
All right. Awesome. And if you are a woman entrepreneur and you want to know how to monetize your expertise and amplify your influence, then I want to invite you to join me in my next workshop. You can register for it at AndreaEngstrom.com. It's called 100K in 90 Days. And it's how to launch your own coaching program. Or you can join me in my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood. Well, thank you again to my lovely co-host, Brenda Stroud.
Thank you for having me. And I am so excited that we had Gigi here today. I love Gigi.
Yes. Thank you, Gigi, so much for what you shared. This is gold.
Yes.
Well, I am thrilled to be here. Y'all's podcast has been amazing. I love you two together. So thanks for having me on. It felt like old times.
Yeah. Well, till next time, everyone. I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, go make an offer, and make it happen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.